he just looked at me like I never thought of those things. I thought when you're angry, you had to, I said, you know, there's nothing genetic that makes your hand reach out when you're angry and slap somebody. That's one of the choices we have as a human being. It's the difference between us and amoebas. You know, you poke an amoeba and it moves a certain way and it doesn't have that many choices. Human beings have a lot of choices. And it was like a revelation for him. He said, I never thought of what else I could do. He rarely got that angry, but he never thought that there were options for expression. And again, I think that's sometimes a psychoeducational thing. There's a feeling, and then there's what you do with the feeling, how you express it or whether you express it. And I think some people just don't have that idea. They just feel and they act. They feel and they act. And there's not much of a moment. And, you know, Deepak Chopra talked about this. There's always this little moment of choice between the stimulus and the response. And Viktor Frankl talked about that, too. There's this, that's what makes us human. And I think some people don't get that.
We're going to take a look at a practice that has helped make a difference in hundreds of thousands of people's lives. I'm talking about mindfulness. Many practitioners have been finding very effective ways of integrating mindfulness into their anger interventions. Dr. Marsha Linehan has long been using mindfulness to help her clients be more present with their feelings. Here we revisit Marsha to learn about one crucial question that she has clients ask themselves when anger suddenly appears.
The first thing you have to do with a person who has anger as a problem is get them to agree that being less angry would be in their interest. That's your biggest problem. Okay. And with this particular group, we did a lot of pros and cons on, is anger getting you in trouble? Because obviously it was, or they wouldn't have been in a program for anger. But so we worked on that. The other thing for anger that you're going to want to do is look at what's setting off the anger and what are the beliefs that are keeping it going. Okay. The average person who's angry almost always believes they have a right to be angry. Now, when does anger fit? So you can ask yourself, does anger fit the facts? Okay. Now, it turns out anger fits the facts a lot of the time. The function of anger from in how we live is that anger gets you to engage in behaviors that keep you from being attacked or harmed by other people. And it fits the facts when your goals are being interrupted by another person. Okay. So a really good example of anger that fits the facts when you're driving and a car cuts in front of you. Okay, that's a perfect example of it. Anger fits the facts. Now, that's an example of when it fits the facts, but it's not effective. Okay, because when a car cuts in front of you, if you're angry and you decide to act on the anger, you're going to run after that car, which is never an effective thing to do. So anger is one of the emotions that almost always fits the facts and is rarely effective. So then you have to know the skill of effectiveness. And effectiveness is being angry, acting angry, doing something angry in your interest. And you've got to sell the patient on the idea that behavior that's in their interest is what they want to do, and behavior that's not in their interest is behavior they don't want to do. And so they have to get the concept of effectiveness, which is a whole nother skill that we teach. And I'll give you an example of that with anger. So I had this client who had a lot of physical pain. And so she had been given, back in the days when they did pain cocktails, okay? So her physician had given her a pain cocktail, except that now she was in a mental hospital. Oh, she was in the hospital for mental disorder, actually, a regular hospital for mental disorder. So she starts having all of her pain. So she goes to the nurses and she says, I want my pain cocktail. At which point they said, I'm sorry, we don't give the pain cocktail out unless you take these other medications. And if they don't work, Tylenol or something like that, if they don't work, then we'll give you the pain medication. But you have to do that first. So she screamed and said, what are you talking about? My pain, that never helps with my pain. I have to have my pain cocktail. They said, no, you have to take this first. If it doesn't work in this time, we'll give you this. No, you can't do that to me. Da, da, da. Call my doctor. I'm sorry, we don't call doctors at night for medication. Well, what do you mean? Da, da, da. So then what happened to her next was she told me, she said, I was under the bed, Marcia, when I thought of you. And then I thought, is this effective? And I remembered that this was not effective. She said, so I raced out and went over and said, give me that Tylenol right this minute. And so she took her Tylenol and she got her medicine. So this is, once again, you can see how the whole thing's largely a sales thing, you know, where you're selling ideas to your client. And you're trying to sell this particular idea is to try to sell them on the idea of being effective instead of ineffective. And that's when you really have to recognize that pain, that anger usually does fit the facts. I mean, the facts are it does. We usually don't get angry at things that didn't actually interfere with our lives, our goals, or what we want. And that's the whole reason for having anger in the first place, is so that people will protect themselves, protect their families, not let people kill them, and things like that. I mean, in other words, it has a huge value. And that's the most important thing to remember about all the emotions, is they all have really important values. So you're not really trying to get rid of things. You're trying to teach a person when they're useful and when they're not. And when it makes sense, when it's in your interest to do that, when it's effective and when it's not effective.
As Marcia said, we're not just trying to eliminate a client's anger. It can often serve them better to learn healthier ways to live with it. To expand on Marcia's idea of effective and ineffective anger, here are some further insights from Dr. Joan Borisenko and Bill O'Hanlon.
The day comes for the first of six mind-body groups that we're going to give. And I had a colleague in this study who was actually a graduate student in the psych department at Harvard. And, you know, we're like doing our efficient little things, and we've got our lists, and we're setting up the chairs, and we're like getting all ready. And this guy is the very first person who comes in, this angry man, big, great, big, beefy guy. And he looks at me and he looks at Carolyn, the graduate student, and he says something incredibly mean and snarky. And he said, look at you two aggressive women from Harvard with your pursed lips. I hate people like you. Which is like a lovely way to start a group. And I looked at him and I said, gosh, I thought we'd like gotten beyond that before. And I looked at him and I said, you know, nobody behaves in any way unless it helps them in some way. And I just want to ask you, how does being so angry help you? And he says, this is a direct quote, it keeps the assholes away. And I looked at him and I said, so you really need to keep Carolyn and me away? Are we assholes too? And he thought about this, and he thought about it, and he thought about it a little bit more. He actually took that in, and he said, because I said, really, it does work. It keeps us away. And he began to really reflect on that a little bit. And I think there was something about the very act of being asked about the anger, of really being asked in my own way, is this working for you? Why do you do it? That really engaged him. And I have to say, I mean, the mind-body intervention was a great deal about meditation and mindfulness and all emotions being valid emotions. And he, because of this, I think, he got enrolled in it a bit. And he turned out to be like one of our star pupils and ended up actually volunteering for us in other parts of the study. It was so interesting because I think sometimes people who are angry are so frightening that we're afraid to ask them questions. And it's the questioning, the self-inquiry, I think, that can lead to tremendous breakthrough, as it did with him.
I was growing up, my father had quite a temper, and And he had sort of a road rage temper. We'd be driving down the street and someone would do something and it would upset him and he would start screaming at them. And then, you know, if they took too long at the stop sign, he'd be yelling, "It says STOP, not PARK." And one day my mother turned to him and she said, "Bob," that was my dad's name, "they can't hear you, but I can. It's really upsetting to me when you yell all the time when we're driving." And I think it sort of stunned him. And, you know, it made me think of that, what Marshall Linehan was talking about. Not that anger is bad, but that the way you express it is either effective or it's not. It's how you're expressing it and to whom. My father was yelling at my mother and the kids in the car. The windows were up. Nobody could hear him except us. You're expressing it to the wrong person and ineffectively. So that I tell stories like that in therapy to remind people, make sure it's to the right person, then it's effective.
Learning to assess anger's effectiveness can help our clients develop more creative solutions to their problems. In the next lesson, we'll look at how mindful thinking can help diminish acts of aggression. I'll see you there.